Well, if I said to you that I brought a whole bunch of mats and we're going to spread out on the floor here and cross our legs and put our little fingers together, what would we be talking about? See, now, interesting, isn't it? We all have this picture that is meditation and that's the only way in some senses. We think that is what meditation is. But that's because, you know, it's been sold well to us in media and otherwise about that form. So, but there's many types of meditation. And today we're going to be, you know, we've been looking at study. So, you know, in past Sundays, we've been looking at celebrating the disciplines, right? So we've looked at studying the word, understanding that part of that is meditating on it and being able to draw more truths from it. We've been looking at the Sabbath and how that time of rest is important, the time of stopping, as Mark shared as well today, talking about stopping and learning to stop and think differently, think deeper, draw from deeper within us and at times too. But, you know, it's an important part of many parts of our life and we don't realize it, but, you know, similar to, I use a few examples, like alcohol, it was a big part of a biblical life. They drank wine in the Bible. We talk about it. They drank all this. But yet there's a period of time where the church in the past really embraced prohibition and completely because it was abused, right? So it's completely wipe it off the map. Not talking about self-discipline, but let's just remove it completely. And so instead of dealing with the problem, let's just remove the possible temptation completely. And, you know, it's similar to other areas of life, like even music. The church was the cutting edge of music for many years in the past. And they were the ones pushing the edges of development and of advancement of that. And then for some reason, I guess the church just kind of stuck with their glory days. And now, what is sacred music? Music from 100 years ago, right? And it's got to have an organ and it's got to have all this involved. And I remember one of the churches we used to be at, some of the people would feel that it just wasn't, you know, we couldn't really sing the songs if there wasn't an organ playing along with the band, you know? I mean, it was just like stuck to that kind of thinking. And I guess in some ways, people, you know, through time, we've used scriptures or beliefs or ways of thinking that sometimes caused us to run from things that we should still be embracing. And I feel like meditation is one of those things, because it's one of those things that's not so easily understood or clearly, you know, easy to grab hold of, but yet is something that deepens our walk with God and is critical to our understanding of being able to understand the truths of Scripture. And we're going to look at some of the different parts of that, what it means, what it looks like, and the differences for Christians when we meditate as well. So turn with Psalms 1, chapter 1, verse 1. There you go. You can find it. But Psalms 1 has been a verse that's been a part of my life for many years. We learned it in school when I was younger, and it's kind of meant a lot to me, so it's an easy one to talk about. But Psalms 1:1, it says, "Blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, and he doesn't sit in the seat of scoffers. For his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law, that law, the words of God, right, the scriptures, the words that God speaks, he meditates day and night. And out of this, you see, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf will not wither, and whatsoever he does will prosper." Now, that sounds like a pretty cool promise, doesn't it? And you know what's interesting is there's a progression through this passage that leads us to meditation as part of that process. And so we're going to look at that. So, you know, this is Mark's commentary, not necessarily but not necessarily some, you know, theologians. But the reality is, as I looked at this passage for years, I saw the reality of the progression. You know, walking, it says, you know, blessed is a man. So first of all, we're looking for that blessing of God on our lives. Blessed is a man who does not walk in the way of the ungodly. So to me, I saw this as being able to deal with the things in our life where we don't purposely step out in sin. I'm not walking into sin. I'm not walking into the wrong places or into the wrong situations or to do the wrong things. I'm not purposefully, it's purposeful participation, basically. So God's asking us to actually walk away from that kind of choice that we make and that kind of living. The second part of that is to not stand in the way of sinners. Now, that's, you've probably heard the phrase, oh, I can't stand that, or how can you stand that, right? Where did that come from? Well, it's basically, how can you put up with that, you know? We kind of say those things, and it's a passive, I see it as a passive putting up with, right? So now we're not walking into sin, but we're actually passively just kind of, well, it's happening and I'm here. I'm in the middle of it, but I'm not going to like fight it or do anything about it. But I'm not really participating. So, you know, you kind of those sayings we hear a lot in our culture of well, you know, I was there, but I wasn't really participating. You know, there's actually some crimes where if you're just present, you are participating. So even the law recognizes the fact that when you stand in the wrong place and stay there, that's not right. So what God's saying is don't actively participate, no purposeful participation, standing, don't, you know, passive putting up with, and sitting. So sitting is a comfortable position that we can get ourselves in. It's how you doing out there? You're all sitting. We all like to sit on a comfortable position, right? It's a place of relaxing. But often people that are speaking will stand. So it's also, in a sense, a submission or a relaxation, being a part of what's going on around you. But often you sit when you're chatting with people. Well, that's why it says don't sit in the seat of the mockers. Don't sit there and just even talk about it. Don't make fun of others and, you know, and point out all the problems people are having just sitting around, you know, gabbing away kind of thing. So it's walking us out of those areas in our life and saying, I want you to go deeper. And the next step is meditation, you know, is delighting in God. So walking out of the things that I'm purposefully sinning, setting aside the things that I might be just standing. You know, sometimes we put up with things in our life and problems that we have. Instead of really dealing with them, we just put up with them, right? We just kind of, well, you know, it's not killing me, so I'll just carry on and I'll deal with that another time, right? And we just kind of put it aside until it comes smacking in our face and then we got to deal with it. Well, it's best to deal with it before then. And then it takes us to this great part. It says, He delights in verse 2 in the law of the Lord. I know that when you are sitting in your living room and you want to have a good evening, you pull out your legal agreement for your mortgage, right? And just read through all the therefore, seeing as thou shalt, and all these wonderful things, right? Isn't that what we do? It's just law, you know? Law is just so great. No, of course not, right? It's like, ugh, we don't look at it till we got to sell the house is what happens, right? We don't want to see that stuff. So there's something else he's talking about here. He delights in the law of God, meaning that he delights in the fact that God gave us guidelines of how to live our lives, right? That he sent Christ to earth. Now, of course, this is, you know, Christ came after David wrote this, but that is part of that reality that we can meditate on and we can delight in the fact that God came to earth in flesh and walked among us. And, you know, it's like this. We for delighting in God and in his word and what he's done in our lives and what he can do and you know, what is written here in the scriptures, you know, it's like we can know of him, right? And when we read the word and when we read the Bible, we can be educated on it. But do we really know the person and the heart behind it? Because then it's like, well, now it's alive. Because it's like I'm reading a letter from a friend. So it brings life to it. And that's the heart behind meditation. And David was a classic for, you know, just engaging with God 100%, you know? Like, I mean, he was, even as a king, he just was like so intense at pursuing God's heart. And that's what we can delight in, okay? So, you know, we want to delight in what God has revealed to us. And delight is really a you know, it's a keen enjoyment or a pleasure that's gratifying. Now, when we read words in a book, that's not what it is, but it's engaging with his heart. So turn with me to Psalms 119. It's a great psalm of you know, David writing about the scriptures, and he just and God's word written to us, and how much he loved it. Psalms 119, verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. So again, people who are walking in the right place. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies and who seek him with a whole heart. And David showed a good example of that in his life. They also do not sin, and they walk in his ways. So there we hear it again, walking, choosing how, where we go and what we do. You've commanded us to keep your precepts, or the law, the do, living right, rightly, to do that diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look at your commandments. I praise you for the uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, I will keep your statutes. Don't forsake me. So he's engaging with, and if you read through Psalms 119, you'll see over and over again. In fact, in verse 18, it says, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. Open my eyes. And that can be part of our request as we approach and look at, you know, in embracing meditation in our lives and using that as part of a tool to get to know God and to get to know his word better. I remember hearing about a preacher from the past who spent a lot of time meditating on his on the word and you know, kind of on a retreat. And one of the young men came to him and just said, how do you come up with these incredible truths? How do you come up with these revelations from God? And, you know, God must really love you in a sense, right? He said, no. He said, I just stay in a passage. I just stay in a part of scripture until I see him come alive in it. And, you know, there's so much truth in that. In our quick, in our high-speed culture, we don't take enough time to stop and to look and listen and to understand. So it takes that a desire to want to go deeper. There's something, you know, it's like having to push through a barrier in our lives, because the barrier is the busyness that we live. You know, we live a high speed life. I do as well. And I understand the challenge of being able to take that time to just stop and be quiet and just think and contemplate. And That reality, though, brings depth to who we are, and it's like taking your roots and going deeper, right? Instead of being satisfied with superficial roots on the top. And so it really takes a pushing through. So don't be surprised if you sit down with your Bible and you say, okay, I'm going to meditate, you know, I'm going to try this thing, and it doesn't totally work the first time. Don't be surprised, because it's something that we learn. We haven't really learned it very well, as much as we should, I think, in our culture, you know, partly because of our culture, partly because of our way of life. And, you know, it makes it challenging. So it's going to take a little bit of practice. There's a great quote from a movie that I like. It's Sean Connery. You can imagine his voice as King Arthur, and he's saying, "Ah, in my twilight years," I can't do it, but anyway, "in my twilight years, I was looking forward to peace," he says, "and peace and quiet. But sometimes there is a peace that's only found on the other side of war. And if that's what it is, then I'm for, you know, I'm in," kind of thing. And I thought that's a really good thing. Not that we're going to war, but you know, but the reality is that there's times where we have to push through something in order to find something new, something genuine, right? When you're mining something, you don't just scoop it off the surface and, "Oh, look, all the diamonds. Isn't that nice?" You know, no, you got to go deep, right? And you got to go deep to find the things of real value. And so that's the challenge for us. But finding delight in it will only happen when our relationship with God is such that we want to know his heart for us, right? Because if we are looking to just understand law, right, then we're just going to read and we're going to try and be educated. No, but listen for the heartbeat of God in this passage. Find his deeper purpose, the deeper meaning in it, and look for it. Then you're getting to know the person of Christ, not just about him. And that's so critical in this. Meditation, what is it? Well, it's a deep concentration or reflection on something. So there's synonyms: contemplation, thought, thinking, musing, pondering, consideration, reflection, deliberation, rumination. You can use that one. I'm ruminating. There's even one here I don't understand, but maybe somebody else will. Brown study. That was a synonym. I don't even know the word, so I don't know that meaning. But anyway, concentration. And it was funny in the as I looked up the definition. You know how it has a definition and then it says more, and then some more words down below or something. Well, when I copied and pasted it out, it said at the end, it said more prayer. I thought, well, that's true. And then I realized, oh, there's a colon there. Yeah, so more, and prayer is also part of but more prayer is what's needed, right, for meditation to truly understand what God's trying to say to us. So what's distinctive about Christian meditation in how we do it? Because there's all kinds of meditation. You've heard of it. And I remember growing up, hearing about transcendental meditation and all these other kind of names for meditation. And it's like, no, that's, you know, that's not good. That's not the, you know, the right way to do it. And in some ways, the church just kind of steered away from meditation altogether. And that's not the right response. It's the right response is to define, okay, so what is it? What does it mean for us to meditate in a way? Because some meditations are about just simply emptying the mind of everything, like everything out. You just clear and you just stop. Now, there is a need to stop, absolutely, but then to fill the mind by focusing on something, a truth from the Word of God or His goodness. So the first distinction is that it's grounded in the Bible. So it's grounded in the Word of God, because the God of the Bible is a personal God who speaks in words of revelation, in contrast to a mystic meditations which use mantras or other kinds that focus on emptying the mind. So the differentiating factor is that the meditation for us is focusing on the Word of God and allowing truth from it to sink into us. The second part of it that's distinctive is that it responds to the love of God. And we were talking about that because it's a personal thing, right? It's getting to know Him personally. In John 4:19, we love because He first loved us. So we're responding to the love He showed us by focusing on that and realizing that. You know, when Debbie and I got married, it wasn't hard, and you know, you guys will relate to this. It wasn't hard to think about our love and our love for each other. It was easy. It was just like, yeah, this is awesome, right? And then as time went on, you can easily take things for granted, can't you? Right? You can just say, oh, yeah, it's my wife. Right? And what I chose to do is say, I'm going to meditate on that. And I didn't even realize it was meditation at the time. It was just, you know, me trying to find a way to keep that alive for us. And so I took time and I just said, you know what? It's so cool. Like she really cares about me. And she's committed her life to spending it with me. You know, like that's awesome. She's, you know, she cares for our kids. She gives of herself. And, you know, you right? That's meditating on the reality of the relationship. And it ignited in me a new sense of love for her. So do you see where I'm going with that? It's the same with Christ. When we meditate on his goodness and we say, man, you know, I remember when he answered our prayer. And I remember when he did this. And when I realized this, and I can see how he's orchestrated this and this in my life. And like, wow, it's cool. It's really cool. And it reignites. It reminds us, right? It brings it back to mind. It reinitiate in the mind, remind, right? It reminds us of his goodness and his gracious and graciousness and his love for us. So distinctive mark is that we're responding to the love of God and really realizing that. It's a time where we can come, and I wrote this out, it's a time where we can come face to face with the incredible love that God's given us in the way he revealed himself through the Bible and through the study and the beauty and creativity of nature as well, and the relationships he's given us, and his patience and kindness to draw us to himself and wait for us to come. And these are things that we can focus on. So the third part of the distinctive for Christian meditation is that the revelations from God lead us to worship him even more. So we're responding to his love to us, but also when we really focus on him and allow him to allow that, you know, allow it to sink deep into our mind and our heart, we respond with worship and honor because he's just so cool. He's so amazing. It's just so awesome. And when you really just as when I focused on, you know, my love for my wife and what she's done and how, you know, we've committed to be together and just all this stuff, it's like it just ignites something, right? And you want to just say, I love you, or whatever, or do things for them. So that is part of it. So it's a relational meditation, okay? So it's not a functional tool that's just a mechanical thing that you just do. You know, thinking of that mechanical pencil, just thinking of that, that's why my thumb was going here. It's not just a mechanical thing that we do, right? That while there, I've done my thing. Same with study, that Brad talked about study. You know, we can just sit there and, okay, got to get my 3 chapters in. Let's go. Well, great. I hope you enjoy that. It's going to be dry as a bone. That's not the way to look at it, right? It's like, I want to get to know the heart of the one who wrote this. And the one who inspired many people to write this, right? Because it's a focus back on God. There's a quote that I've loved for years, and it's by A.W. Tozer, who's a writer from of many, you know, from the Christian world, and very good. But he wrote about the pursuit of God, and this is part of it, right? It's part of pursuing God. And he says, to find God and yet to pursue him is a soul's paradox of love, scorned indeed by the too easily satisfied religionist, but witnessed by those of the burning heart. That's so good. I love that one. Because it's like to find God. I mean, if I'm looking for something, I find it, right? I found the keys to Daryl's car. Now I can get home, you know? I found this. I don't keep looking for it. What are you, nuts? You found it. It's in your hand. Right? You don't keep looking for it. But to find God and yet to pursue him is because there's more. There's more that I don't have revelation of yet. Because there's more that I don't understand yet. And as I find that, I realize there's more. one of the paradoxes as well of education, educated societies, is that, and I found this in when as I went through school, is that the more I learned in schooling, the more I realized I knew that much. I mean, the more you realize, as the more you learn about, say, engineering, Brad, you can attest to this too, but engineering and things like this, you realize, okay, there's a nuclear process out there and how they break it down and how they put it together. And it's like, wow, I know nothing about how these cells react and how these, you know, different things happen and these processes that take place. Oh my goodness. And it goes on to every field, the medical field, the building and all kinds of things. And so the more we learn, the more we realize we don't know. So to find God and yet to pursue him is the soul's paradox of love. And it's scorned indeed by the too easily satisfied religionist. It's, you know, there are those who are just about, hey, I just come into my Sunday club on Sunday morning and I'm just going to sit here and do my little songs and listen to the guy talk and I'm going to go home. Too easily satisfied religionist. That's just religion. That's not relationship. And often that's the part, that kind of person fights the hardest against those who have true relationship because you're disturbing their sleep. They were just having a nice sleep on a Sunday morning in the pew. And now you want to actually get engaged and love people? Come on now. No, that's too easily satisfied. But it's witnessed indeed by the children of the burning heart. Now, I don't know if you can, I'm sure you can attest to this, but there's been times where I've walked around and met people and in other countries too. And especially in our travels through the business, but you run into people and you meet them, you get talking with them and you're like, something going on in this guy. I can sense it. You know, you can sense there's a similar synergy. There's something that's going on and you find out, yeah, they're a believer and they're, you know, excited about what God's doing in their life. And it's like, wow, yeah, I could sense something. There was a common burning heart, right? That was there. And, so it's really cool. But that's the reality. So pursuing that, meditation is one of the tools. I could just hear the heart of God saying, where are the men and women of God of today? Where the church and his kingdom are all that matter, and where those that will set their heart on listening, obedience, pursuing God's heart for them and their generation. He wants to find them for this generation, for this day. So we got to stop. That's part of meditation, is stopping. In a world where we're constantly plugged in, we got online cell phones, online iPads, online TV, we got smart TVs. We've got all these things around us, right? Even light bulbs now are wired. Like, give me a break. It's crazy. And so he says, come, you know, unplug. And that's part of, it works with the Sabbath. It works with, the reality of just taking time apart to meditate, to go deeper. In a world where we're constantly surrounded by noise, right? There's lots of noise. CDs, radios, MP3 players, phones, text messages, social media, billboards, YouTube, radio and TV ads, and on and on and on. All this noise around us. I even tried to fill up my car with gas a while ago, and the guy said, oh, would you like a credit card? We're offering that. No, stop. You know, I look up, and there's an advertisement right in front of me on the thing playing on the gas pump. You know, it's like, it's just surrounding us everywhere, all this noise. Can we get so used to it? We just say, yeah, that's normal. And then we have to keep our TVs on at home so that we feel comfortable. Got to have noise going. God says, I want you to stop. Just stop. Stop. It reminds me of this TV show. I can't remember. This couple sitting in front of a counselor and getting this counsel, telling him all his problems. He says, okay, are you ready? Can you write this down? This is what I want you to do. Okay, we're ready. Stop! Just stop! Just stop! Stop it! Okay, you can leave now. Sometimes that's just, you know, a reality that we just need to stop, you know? Stop what we're doing, like change it. And we're so constantly surrounded by this, it becomes very familiar and almost soothing because we don't have to think the deeper thoughts then. when there's noise going on around us. And God's saying, I want you to know me, understand my intense love for you. Don't let all this noise and distraction stop you. Just come. Just come. And I'll give you rest and revelation of my love. And that's his heart for us. So there's stop. There's listen. So hearing and obeying and understanding that reality of being able to hear his voice when we stopped, we can hear a lot better. We can focus a lot more. Meditation facilitates transformation. You know, it's like you've heard those sayings in the movies that you always an inside job, right? It was something that was inside. Somebody inside was given permission to get to the critical systems of some bank or whatever, right? And they got it broke in and were able to do what they wanted to do. And in a sense, we need to let God have an inside job on us, to work on us on the inside, give him access to the critical systems in our life to be able to bring change. So how do we meditate? Very quickly, it's you find a place. Find a quiet place where you can be alone and just be quiet, uninterrupted. Find a posture. A good posture is a comfortable chair. Not enough so you sleep. but a good way to do that, just a way to be able to relax, to be able to focus. And then let go of all the buzzing around you is number three. So detach from what's going on. For me, I find that I get away. I do retreats every once in a while, and I find I get away. I find a good place, and I'm quiet. And then I start, the things come. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, it's things come to my mind when I stop, right? So then I'm like, okay, now I'm thinking about those things. Well, this is not any better. So what I do is pull out a piece of paper and I write all those down so that I can make sure that my mind knows I'm not, you know, forgetting those. And then it can relax. So I make lists and all this stuff and just things that I'm thinking of. What do I got to do? Whatever. And then all of a sudden that I can put that aside, and now I can just center my attention on the goodness of God and on what he's done in my life, and then persevere. So it's find a place, good position, detach, center, and persevere. Just keep pressing in through it. And you will, it may not be much at the beginning, but keep pressing in because you'll find truth in it. The things you can meditate on, the scriptures, his goodness in our lives. Don't rush over passages. Just look at them and allow them to soak and think about the cult, the way it's happened. Often I'll take stories sometimes. I read a book when I was quite young about living through the Gospel of Mark, it said. It was, or dreaming through, I'm not sure. But it was basically use your imagination and picture yourself, you know, like those kids' cartoons they used to have where they'd go live in the Bible story. Well, go picture yourself as a part of that story and just walk it through with them. Feel the breeze blowing and the noises around and the sheep running around and whatever happening in those days, and just picture those things happening, and it just brings it to life for you. Allow the imagination to kick in. Sometimes we fear imagination because it can be used to distract us, right? But it's just a matter of learning to focus it and to use it for deeper meditation. And then meditating on creation is another awesome one. You know, don't you love to go sit in the park and just look out on the beauty of nature? It's just so calming. And then just think about it. Like God created these little things, these sticks to come out of the ground, and then all of a sudden this bulb appears in the end, and then this, for some reason, it splits in half and these beautiful, delicate little leaves come out with color and smell. And like just the fact that all this incredible creation is around us, and we have the ability to just enjoy that together as people. And then meditate on the events of the times as well is another important thing. The Bible talks about the sons of Issachar knowing the times and the signs and the seasons. we don't often spend time meditating on, God, what's happening in our culture? What's going on in our world around us? What are you saying through this? What do you want to know? What do you want me to know through this? And yet it's important. Jesus set an awesome example for us. He often went away, climbed a hill to meditate and spend time alone and listen. And so we can follow that example as well, as we set our hearts on knowing him more, understanding his love, and going deeper. And so I pray that you can find a way to do that. I know it's been very refreshing in my life when I've been able to take those times and just really go deeper in my understanding and my, and hopefully you can find that refreshing as well. So let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your work in our lives. Thank you for the fact that you there's so much more of you we have yet to discover and understand, to seek for you and yet to have found you and yet to keep seeking for you, Lord. That is what we want. So God, I pray that you'll help us to be able to dig our roots deeper in your word, your truth, your life in us, that we can be able to know you and be that much more solid in our understanding of your love for us. God, I thank you for the revelations you have given us in the past. We thank you for what you showed us about your love for us, and we just pray for more of that, Lord, more of a deeper understanding of your grace and your love for us. And thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen.